Thank you very much for coming to our temple and especially on Sundays we have a very special program called Sunday Love Feast. This was Prabhupada's divine arrangement to distribute the love of Godhead, Krishna Prem. When Srila Prabhupada was in America, he started this program, Sunday Love Feast. In those days, ISKCON didn't even take its shape. Srila Prabhupada went to America and Srila Prabhupada started to preach. Srila Prabhupada, when he went to America, first he went to Butler, Pennsylvania. From there, Srila Prabhupada came to New York City. And there, Srila Prabhupada started his preaching mission. It was very difficult for Srila Prabhupada at the beginning because Prabhupada didn't have any following, Prabhupada didn't have any resources, Prabhupada didn't have any money. So it was very, very difficult. Prabhupada didn't even have proper place to stay. When he first came to New York, he was staying at the apartment of one Dr. Mishra, who was a yoga teacher. And then Srila Prabhupada moved out, rented a place. Dr. Mishra actually arranged that for Srila Prabhupada. But Srila Prabhupada moved out of that place also, and Srila Prabhupada started to stay. He started to share one. Why the volume is fluctuating? Just step it up and let it be there. Don't fiddle around. So, okay, maybe you can make it little lower, little down. Okay, I think this is better now, and let it be there. So, Srila Prabhupada started to stay with one young American boy called David Allen. Actually, Srila Prabhupada was looking for a place, and one of Prabhupada's acquaintances, one young American, he was moving out of New York and he was going to Los Angeles or San Francisco. He was moving to San Francisco. And he already gave his apartment to David Allen. It was not even an apartment, it was just a studio. And he gave it to David Allen. And then he found out that Swamiji, and that's how Prabhupada was known to them at that time, that Swamiji wanted to have. Also, Swamiji also was looking for a place. Now David Allen also used to come to see Srila Prabhupada from time to time. And so he told David Allen that Swami also is looking for a place. So whether David would share the apartment with Srila Prabhupada. David agreed. And initially David was very good boy. He was responding to Srila Prabhupada's teachings. He was very enthusiastic. He was following the four regulative principles. But then David became a victim of Maya. David went back to drugs and he started to become more and more difficult, and eventually Srila Prabhupada had to move out of that place. Actually, at that time, Prabhupada didn't even have any place to go to. Srila Prabhupada didn't know where he would go. So he knew some boys who were quite favorable. So he called up one of them, and that was Michael Grant. So he, one morning, Michael received a phone call. Swamiji is calling, and Swamiji explained what happened. And Michael didn't know what to arrange for Srila Prabhupada. So the immediate arrangement that they could make, just a kind of a makeshift arrangement, that Michael arranged that Prabhupada would stay with one of his friends who was living with his girlfriend. And not only that, they had cats in the house, in an apartment. They're young Americans. And Srila Prabhupada stayed with them and tried to adjust himself in that situation. Then Michael got a place for Srila Prabhupada along with some of his friends. They found a place in 26 Second Avenue, a storefront, and at the back of that, the back part, back ear of the building, there was an apartment on the first floor. Srila Prabhupada was staying there, and this 26 Second Avenue, the storefront, became Prabhupada's first preaching center. And Srila Prabhupada started his Bhagavad Gita classes. The young Americans those days were not interested in Bhagavad Gita, but they loved Swami's music. Prabhupada used to make music, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. They became attracted to the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. They used to come, and for a long time Srila Prabhupada would sing Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and then he would give a lecture on Bhagavad Gita. And most of the lecture used to fly over their heads. They couldn't understand what was... Like, for example, when Prabhupada mentioned about the battle of Kurukshetra, they couldn't take it properly. They couldn't accept that. To them, battle was bad. War was bad. Because they had the experience of Vietnam War. And they were being drafted in Vietnam War. That's why they were all proposing peace. Peace and love and flower power, counterculture, positive alternative, and eventually all culminated into sex and drugs. But Srila Prabhupada, sometimes they would challenge Srila Prabhupada, why this war is not good, but Prabhupada used to explain to them that how the difference between ordinary war and dharma yuddha. When we try to establish our authority and fight a battle with our enemies, those wars are bad. Those wars are undesirable. But when the Supreme Personality of Godhead arranges a war, and if we get a chance to side with Him in that war, that is very, very wonderful. That is wonderful. So the Battle of Kurukshetra was something like that. A glorious war. Because it was arranged by Krishna's divine will. Srila Prabhupada used to explain to them, Prabhupada used to often just focus on just one point. You are not this body, you are spirit soul. And he used to go on and on and on that topic. Sometimes they used to wonder why Swamiji is saying the same thing again and again. But Srila Prabhupada knew that that is the most important thing to learn. That's the most important thing to consider. We are not this body. We are spirit souls. And it's not just some verbal presentation, but it was a matter of realization. We have to understand. One had to understand properly. We are not this body. We are spirit souls. And now we are seeing, after so many years of involvement in Krishna consciousness, still it becomes so difficult to understand that. Still now we get caught up with our bodily platform. But Krishna consciousness means transcendental to body. We are not this body, we are spirit soul. So why put so much importance to the body? This is a beautiful body, that's an ugly body, this is a healthy body, that is a diseased body, and this is a white body, that's a black body, this is a brown body, this is a blue body, this is a green body, this is a yellow body. It's not important. What is important is that we recognize that this body is only an external covering to the soul. Unfortunately, in today's world, most of the businesses are based on this body business. Make the body look beautiful. Make the old body look young. Let bald head look hairy. And people are spending billions of dollars just to beautify the body. But what's the point in beautifying the body when the soul is starving? But on the other hand, when you take care of the soul, then the body automatically becomes beautiful. And we saw that. Like Srila Prabhupada was about 80 years old man. And he was old, he was 80 years old. But he was so beautiful. And that is the benefit of becoming situated on the spiritual platform. The thing is that if you want to look beautiful, then become spiritually situated. Then you will not only look beautiful, you will also become beautiful. The beauty is not only skin deep. Real beauty is the beauty of the soul. Don't you notice that? When you like somebody, when you love somebody, do you care whether how he looks? Initially maybe the looks are important to be attracted. Because our material senses are conditioned in that way. But after some, but when the real relationship develops, then we don't really care how that person looks. What's the use of somebody if he externally looks very beautiful? His skin and bone and flesh is very beautiful. But internally, his nature is showering a lot of mercy today. So, what's the use of somebody if he or she looks extremely beautiful, but internally she is ugly, or he is ugly? For how long can you tolerate her? Right? Or not her only, it's him also. So, but when the soul, beauty of the soul develops, when you see the beauty of the soul, actually the soul is beautiful, the soul is most beautiful. And it is the soul's beauty, the spirit soul's beauty, that is reflected on the body. There are two types of beauty. One is the beauty of the subtle body, and the other is the beauty of the spiritual soul. Like someone looks very beautiful, we have to understand that it is due to the beauty of the subtle body, which means a lot of good karma. Due to good karma, one gets four things, or four things are achieved due to good karma or pious activities. Janma, Aisharja, Shruta, Shrivir. Birth in an aristocratic family is due to pious activities. Opulence, when one becomes endowed with a lot of opulence, we have to understand it is due to his pious activities. If one is very learned, we have to understand it is due to his pious activity. And if one is very beautiful, we have to understand it is due to his pious activity. So pious activities are reflected in the spirit, or carried in the spirit soul, which eventually manifests in the form of the external body. But the beauty of the spirit soul is the most beautiful thing. Therefore, a pure devotee becomes so attractive. His attraction is not physical. His attraction is spiritual. From the material consideration, he may not look very beautiful. But he becomes very attractive due to the beauty of his spirit soul. So Srila Prabhupada started this evening programs with a lot of music, not just Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. But the young Americans, they were very much attracted to music. They used to be very fond of music. And they used to come to Swami's pad to make music. And then Srila Prabhupada would speak about Bhagavad Gita. And then Srila Prabhupada considered about distributing prasad. So he started to invite them on Sundays. And he would cook himself. Not only cook himself, whatever little money Srila Prabhupada collected through the week. Because in the evenings when the boys and girls used to come, they would leave some donations. And on Sunday morning, Srila Prabhupada used to go to Chinatown. From Lower East Side, Chinatown is very close by. And there are many Chinese shops, and the vegetables were, there lots of varieties of vegetables were available, and they were quite cheap. Even now they're quite cheap. And Srila Prabhupada used to go to Chinatown, and he used to buy the vegetables and other ingredients, and he used to cut the vegetables, he used to cook the prasad, and offer it to Krishna, and then in the evening, after the music and class and more music, they used to have prasad. And Prabhupada used to call that Sunday love feast. And this is how they became attracted to Srila Prabhupada. Some of those young boys didn't have any place to stay, so they decided to move in. And Srila Prabhupada allowed them to stay. Like at night, they would sleep in the storefront. And then one girl, she also wanted to move in. Janet. So she persuaded Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada said, no, girls should stay at home. Because they need to be protected. And she came with counter arguments. she was completely bent on staying in the ashram. And finally Srila Prabhupada had to let her move in. And Srila Prabhupada allowed her to stay. Like in that apartment there were two rooms, and one living room and two rooms, and Srila Prabhupada let her stay in the other room. She convinced Prabhupada by saying that she doesn't have any place to go. Prabhupada said, go to your, stay at your father's place. And she convinced Prabhupada that Prabhupada was a real father. So this is how ISKCON movement actually started in the early days. And Srila Prabhupada used to have a lot of sweet exchange with these young devotees. Like, Prabhupada, for, they used to like sweets. So Prabhupada used to make gulab jamuns. And he used to keep a jar of gulab on the passage. And whenever somebody wanted, they would just come and take a gulab. And they started a slogan. They used to call those gulabs as ISKCON bullets. And the slogan was, a bullet a day keeps Maya away. And also one day, this girl, Janet, who later on became Jadurani Dasi, she was a painter, she was an artist. So she painted something and she was about to hang it on the wall while Srila Prabhupada was translating, dictating in the dictaphone. And while she was trying to drive the nail on the wall, it touched her, she touched Srila Prabhupada by her feet. Her feet touched Srila Prabhupada. So she felt very embarrassed and profusely begged apology to Srila Prabhupada that she touched Prabhupada by her feet. Then Prabhupada said, no, for the sake of service you can even stand on my head. So that is how liberal and how broad-minded Srila Prabhupada was. When you consider how Srila Prabhupada conquered the world, conquered the hearts of so many devotees all around the world. We often discuss about that, and we always come to the conclusion that Srila Prabhupada did that with his love. And when you notice, Srila Prabhupada actually didn't use the expression love towards his devotees or in his dealings with others. Prabhupada didn't use the expression love. Rather, his teaching was that love is exclusively for Krishna. But his attitude, his dealings, very clearly indicated how much he loved everyone. And that's why everyone who came in contact with Srila Prabhupada became so attracted to him. Anyway, to go back to the point, like this is how the Sunday feast program started, the love feast. And then this program has become a common feature in every temple in ISKCON all over the world. On Sundays, in every temple, you have this love feast. And this feast was designed to distribute Krishna's love to everyone. Everyone wants to be loved, everyone wants to love somebody. And Srila Prabhupada came to teach us who to love and how to be loved. The purpose of this gathering is simply designed for that. Who to love? We want to love somebody. Our hearts are filled with love. We want to offer that love to somebody. But we do not know who that person is. Who is the real object of our love? Srila Prabhupada came and taught us that Krishna is that object of love. What Srila Prabhupada gave is unique, incomparable, and is the most wonderful gift that a living entity can ever receive. And it is abundantly being distributed by Srila Prabhupada, by the divine arrangement that he has made. And if we can receive that gift and properly utilize that gift, our lives will become successful. And it is not just some sentimental thing, it is based on perfect knowledge, perfect wisdom. As I was mentioning earlier, the very basic teachings of Srila Prabhupada is, we are not our bodies, we are spirit souls. If we can properly implement this one understanding, then practically, I personally feel that at least 90% of the problems of this world will be solved. Why 90%? Actually 100% of the problems will be solved. If people all over the world can understand, can factually recognize that they are not their bodies, they are spirit souls, then all the problems of this world will be solved. Because all the problems are based on this one misconception, identification with the body. But Srila Prabhupada came in a very simple way. Srila Prabhupada made us aware that we are not our bodies, we are spirit souls. If we consider that death can come at any moment, we may have to leave the body at any moment, we do not know when death will come. And it has been described in our scriptures that every moment there is danger. At every step there is danger. At every step we are actually facing danger. What kind of danger? The danger of losing our bodies, danger of dying. And it may come at any moment. So this is how uncertain our existence is in the material nature. And when we leave our bodies, then what? What will happen to all the money that we have in the bank? Can we claim after death? Can we claim? Others will come and claim, but we will be completely excluded from that. And in the next life, if we come and claim, in my previous life, I deposited so much money in such and such account, will the bank recognize that claim? No. Then why put so much emphasis, so much importance on making money and accumulating it? And actually most of the crimes today, most of the illegal deals in this world today are just going on for the sake of money. Everything practically is going on for the sake of money. Money has become the center of everything, basis of everything. Previously the consideration was happiness. Happiness was the base for which people did things. Not so much money. It was, the emphasis was not so much on money. But the world today has become, it has become the world of Vaishyas. The world goes through different phases. The world dominated by the Brahmanas, world dominated by the Kshatriyas. When the world is dominated by the Brahmanas, then the spiritual and intellectual assets are considered to be the highest. That's why we find in the Vedic time, a king would offer his daughter to a saintly person, a Brahman who may be living in the forest, doesn't even have any place to stay. For example, Swayambhuva Manu took his daughter Devahuti to Kardama Muni. Now Devahuti was a princess, not only a princess, she was the daughter of the ruler of the entire earth planet. And she was offered to Kardama Muni. And Kardama Muni didn't even have a place to stay, he was living in the forest. But because Brahma instructed that Manu offers his daughter to Kardama Muni, he just abided by that instruction. And this is how, and why he offered his daughter to this saintly person, or rather an ascetic who is living in the forest, because he recognized that the Brahminical power, the intellectual and spiritual power, is the most important thing. More powerful than all the opulence of this world. More desirable and more effective than all the wealth of this world. Then came the Kshatriya power. When the Kshatriyas become powerful, then what happens? Then might is right. If you have strength, you can do anything. And everybody wanted to have that strength, especially the Kshatriyas. They wanted to have the power and thus rule the world. They wouldn't think of buying things at that time. That's the difference between a Vaishya and a Kshatriya. Vaishya wants to have everything by in exchange of money. But a Kshatriya wants to have whatever he wants with his strength. Like for example, if a Kshatriya likes a kingdom, he will go and send a proposal to the king of that kingdom. Look, I like your kingdom. So either you can give it to me or get ready for a battle. And they would challenge the king in a battle, and then they would fight. And whoever won would have the kingdom. Not only kingdom, a Kshatriya likes a beautiful girl, a beautiful princess. What he would do? He would go and claim her. Well, I like her, so I'm taking her. If anybody wants, he can come and try to stop me. That is called Sayambara. And there used to be terrible fights. Like one person, one Kshatriya would fight against an entire army. That's what happened. Like when Bhishma claimed Ambika and Ambalika, the three daughters of Kashi Raj, the three extremely beautiful princesses. They were actually the incarnations of Durga. So we can well imagine how beautiful they were. And they were about to select their own husbands. So all the kings and princes were invited. And in that assembly, she would choose her husband. And Bhishma decided that these three girls are very suitable candidates for my brother, Vichitravirja. So he went there to that assembly in the kingdom of Kashiraj, and he introduced himself that I am Bhishma, son of Shantanu, and my brother Vichitravirya is about to ascend the throne. He needs to get married, and I selected these three girls for his brides, so I am taking them. And he just took them by their hands and pulled them into the chariot. And all the kings and princes surrounded Bhishma in a terrible battle. And Bhishma fought alone, defeated them all, and took them away. And not only Bhishma, it happened to Krishna also. Arjuna also. Arjuna, of course it was Krishna's divine arrangement. Arjuna kidnapped or stole Subhadra. And the army was sent and they were fighting. And Subhadra was driving the chariot. And she also is a Kshatriya princess, so she was an expert horsewoman. She was driving the chariot while Arjuna was fighting. But a terrible situation came when Balaram got the news. He got really upset. He was really upset. And he said, how dare he take my sister without my permission? And you can well imagine, when Balaram got angry, the whole universe is in trouble. But Krishna pacified Balaram. And that is how Arjun got away with this act of stealing Subhadra. Krishna did that while he stole Rukmini. And in this way, when the Kshatriyas are in power, then when Kshatriyas rule the world, then power becomes the most important consideration. But when Vaishyas rule the world, then what happens? Then money becomes the most important criterion. Everything is based on money. So we can see, like, what the world is being. What's the situation of the world today? It's actually being dominated by the Vaishyas. And it is leading towards now being dominated by the Sudras. And this power is not just the money power, this is the power of the mass, political power. In the world of demon crazy, the political power is the most powerful thing. If you have political power, you can do anything. So in this way, the power of the labor union, power of all kinds of things, that power is even more powerful than money. Anyway, this is how the world goes through different phases. Now the thing is that the most effective wealth actually is the spiritual wealth. When one has spiritual wealth, he has everything. When one has spiritual wealth, the kings and monarchs will fall at his feet. He doesn't have to become powerful himself. When one has spiritual wealth, the whole world will come and fall at his feet. So Prabhupada came to distribute that spiritual wealth. This Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, they are all Varnashram consideration. But Prabhupada didn't come here to establish Varnashram. Prabhupada came here to give pure love of Godhead, the pure spiritual power. And we have seen with Srila Prabhupada, like although he started this movement without any asset whatsoever, but Srila Prabhupada became the wealthiest person in this world. Not with material wealth, but with his spiritual potency. And that attracted everything. Are these questions or questions? Okay. Okay, so I'll just get into these questions, answers, and can we show the thing now?
Yeah, we can close
the, close the cartoon. Okay, okay. So, Hare Krishna Maharaj, how do we know when we have to fight as our dharma and when we are fighting for sense gratification? Nice question. Okay, Krishna Charan, have a nice flight and thank you very much for coming and stay in touch. And Nirupama Radhika, stay in touch. Thank you for coming, Hare Krishna. Who is driving you? Okay. Okay. Hare Krishna. Fighting, first of all, in this age of Kali, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has forbidden fighting. That's why Mahaprabhu did not come with any weapon. In other incarnations, Krishna comes with some weapon or other. But in this age, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't bring any weapon. The only weapon he brought was love. And with love, he conquered all the demons and all the demoniac propensities. Krishna comes with a weapon to kill the demons. But in this age, Krishna didn't come with a weapon. Why? Because in this age, if we get into fight, there'll be no end to it. Therefore, in this age, there is no question of fighting. Whether it is for dharma or adharma, doesn't matter. No fight. Because all fights will lead to very, very unpleasant situation. Rather, in this age, you try, if there is an enemy, you try to win him over. Actually, why do you fight? You fight to win, right? And when you win, then your mission is successful, right? So, in this age, we are not going to win by fighting. We are not going to win anyone over by fighting, but we must win over others with love. In the Leela of Krishna manifesting himself as the cowherd boys and calves when they were taken away by Lord Brahma, were the boys and calves swamsas or bivinamsas? And what happened to the two sets of calves and boys? Yeah, they are actually swamsas. Bivinamsas are jivas. So you understand swamsa and okay, for everybody's understanding, Krishna expands in two ways. One is swamsa and bivinamsa. Swamsa is Krishna himself expands. And that expansion is Krishna himself. Like when Krishna becomes Baladev, Krishna expands into Baladev. Is there any difference between Baladev and Krishna? No. Then the next expansion is Chaturbhuha. Vasudev Shankarshan Pradumna Aniruddha. Is there any difference between Krishna and them? No. Then Krishna expands himself into Narayana. Is there any difference between Krishna and these Narayans? No. Then Krishna expands into Super Soul, Kshiradakshai Vishnu. Is there any difference between Super Soul and Krishna? No. So these expansions are known as Swamsa. And Bibhinansas are the parts and parcels. They are Krishna's expansions. Qualitatively they are same, but quantitatively they are minute. Like we are Bibhinansas, jivas. So the question is, when Krishna expanded himself into Swamsa and Bibhinansas, then what happened? Krishna expanded himself into cowherd boys and calves. Were they Swamsas or Bibhinansas? The answer is no, they are Swamsas. They are not Bibhinansas. And then the next question is, what happened to those cowherd boys, the another set that was created? So Krishna expanded himself in order to accomplish certain mission. When Brahma stole the cow, the calves and cowherd boys, then Krishna expanded himself to that many calves and cowherd boys. So the question is, what happened to that set when the real calves and the cowherd boys were brought back? The set that came out of Krishna's body, Krishna, as Krishna's expansion, they went back to Krishna. Please kindly explain how one can deal with time wasting, procrastinating in regards to being always engaged in hearing and chanting. Very difficult question. How one can deal with the time wasting, procrastinating in regard to being always engaged in hearing and chanting? We have to deal with a ruthless discipline and a willpower. That's the only way we can deal with it. No procrastination, no wasting time. Actually, it is one of the symptoms of spiritual advancement. That is called abhyarthakala tyat. That no time goes wasted. Byartha means useless, waste. A devotee becomes very concerned that not a single moment is wasted. And every single moment is used in Krishna consciousness. As you mentioned, hearing and chanting. Maharaj, does Super Soul guide an aspiring devotee to find his place in this world as far as work and appropriate partner relationship in order to progress in Krishna consciousness is concerned? Or does this does that depend simply or solely on one's karma? Well, when one takes to Krishna consciousness, then yes, Krishna as the Super Soul or Chaitanya Guru or the spiritual master guides him. But at a neophyte stage, we do not know which one is the mind and which one is the Super Soul. It becomes very difficult to figure out. Like for example, you became a new bhakta, you joined the movement, and someone from within tells you, well, you have rendered plenty of service today, now just go and enjoy a movie. Now the question arises whether this is Super Soul or mine. Maybe it's a super soul, who knows? At least I do not know. But the best way is to verify it with some advanced devotee. If you have doubt whether it's mind or super soul, go and ask a devotee. Go and ask Prabhu. I think super soul is telling me to go to a movie today. And see what the devotee tells you. And listen to him. Because he has better communication with super soul than you do. So main point is, and that's why we need a spiritual master. Because we do not know whether it's coming from the super soul or whether it's our mind. Therefore, we need to ask the devotees. Therefore, we need to ask the spiritual master, what should I do? And whatever he tells, whatever instruction he gives, that should be followed. Because that is the real voice of the super soul. We know that Radha is Sri Krishna's eternal consort and Rukmini his wife. Please explain these two relationships, Hare Krishna. Okay, good question. Radha is Krishna's eternal consort and Rukmini is his wife. So what a So what's their relationship? The original Supreme Personality of Godhead is Krishna. Krishna of Vrindavan. And the pleasure potency, or the personification of the pleasure potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Srimati Radharani. But when Krishna expands, his pleasure potency and their expansions also expand. So, when Krishna expands as Vasudev, in Dwarka, then these pleasure potencies, personified pleasure potencies, also expand in Vrindavan, from Vrindavan. And those expansions are like Radharani, when Krishna becomes Vasudev, when Krishna expands himself as Vasudev, then Radharani becomes Satyabhama. And Chandravali becomes Rukmini. Now the question is, well, in Dwarka, Rukmini is prominent. The most prominent of all the queens is Rukmini. And Satyabhama is in the background, more or less. Why is that? It's because in Vrindavan, emotion is prominent. Therefore in Vrindavan, Radharani is prominent. Whereas in Dwarka, intelligence became prominent. And emotions are in the background. So, Rukmini, Satyabhama, Chandravali became prominent there as Rukmini. Thank you. So these are the questions I had, and thank you very much for being so good, such good devotees, and now become even better devotees. And better devotee means always considering how to please Krishna, how can I serve Krishna, what can I do for the expansion of Krishna consciousness movement. So we have to always consider that. So, as it was announced that there is a video, a DVD, we are going to show now. It's about my recent involvement in a place called Ujjain in Madhya Pradesh. It's in the center of India, right in the center of India. This Ujjain is considered to be the navel of the universe. It's not only the center of India, but it's the center of the universe. And it's a very wonderful place. And recently I got involved there, and I'm spending a lot of time there. For the last 6 months, I had been in India, mainly in Ujjain, developing this project. And this video is about that. Anyway, I don't want to take too much time speaking about it when we are just about to show it. So, Krishnananda, you're ready?
Okay, so now you can leave 5 minutes kirtan.
Oh, we set up. Or okay, then we can go give out the DVD. Jamalacharya, we have the DVDs.
They're bringing them.
Okay. So who has the list? Okay. Okay. So before we show the DVD, I have some gifts for some devotees. As you all know, recently I completed the Abhacharan project. I originally planned to complete this project in 2 years' time, but it took me about 8 years to complete. Because when I embarked on the project, it was a 108-episode biography of Srila Prabhupada, which was being telecasted in Doordarshan, the Indian national television channel. At that time I thought that I would complete the project in 2 years because I didn't know how much time it actually takes to make movies. But when I got involved and I realized that trying to rush it was making things it was affecting the quality of our production. Therefore, I decided to go off the air and take the time to complete the project. And so now this project is completed and it is being presented in 18 DVD sets. 18 DVDs in a set, and many of you have signed a debit order whereby every month certain amount of money was being deposited in the Abhacharan account for the videos. And at that time I felt very embarrassed that it was taking so long. I was taking so long to complete it. Don't bring all, Jamunacharya. Yeah. There are some other boxes.
Two boxes.
Yeah. No, not that one. You take that, the other one. Okay, so I think one box will be good.
Okay, 25.
The other, and these are the DVDs. Yeah. You leave it, they'll take it, Jamacharya. Okay, So many of you have paid up for the full set, and you had to wait for so long, and it took me so long to give them out, and many of you may have even lost the videos. Therefore, as a goodwill gesture or as an expression of my apology for my inability to deliver the goods in time, I decided that those who have paid up in full for Abhaycharan, I will give them a set of DVD. Nishingananda, who has the list? So, I will call out, maybe you can call the names out and
you can give it out.
I'll give it out. Okay, we are just going to call the names, and if you are here, please come forward and take the DVD. Okay, beforehand maybe, yeah, I want to express my gratitude to those who helped me. Some of you have helped me immensely in this project. So I would like to give them the gift first. Give me a pen. Hari Namananda. Hari Namananda had been helping me in this project since the very beginning with his invaluable support. Shiva Shankar. Shiva Shankar is not here. And Ananda, Tita and Palika, they helped immensely, but they have been rewarded already in Durban. We had a I'm just keeping them. So Shiva Shankar is not here. Shantilal Mistry, also another person who helped me immensely. So you give it to him. Harai Pandit. Harai regularly supported this project with his financial support. Thank you, Harai. Manu Samhita. Prabha Vishnu. Hare Krishna. Nrsinghananda. Nrsinghananda Madhuri had helped me immensely in this project. Thank you. Okay, now Nrsinghananda, read out the names. Not working? Then you take this one, yeah.
Ramanda Kandaran.